Lord God, Heavenly Father, may we see that, Lord God, you are teaching us even today. Lord God, help us open the scriptures to dive in. Lord God, may these words not be stumbling blocks to us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So our verses today is coming from our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. A little excited and a little nervous to preach this morning, simply because it's one thing I am excited about. At the same time, you may not be excited about it. And so there is that awkwardness that goes into every sermon. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be diving in because our culture is so ingrained in what comes out of California sometimes. And so when we take a look at some of the things produced, I think of one of my favoritest, probably one of the best movies ever of all time, if you tie the first three all together and leave out all the rest. And so this morning, I'm going to take you on a journey for 3 weeks, and we're going to be talking about this sermon series. It's not bad. It's won a couple of awards. It has grossed more money than most countries in the world, and so we're just going to take a look at it. Of course, one of my favorite movies of all times is this movie called Star Wars, and so there is some stuff that came out when I watched it in the theaters. It was just intriguing story that to me was just amazing to watch and see and how everything weaves together. And at the same time, the more I got into it, the more I began to notice, wait a minute, there's correlations here. That I wonder where he got that. And so if you want to know what I mean, is during our liturgy, during what we say in church, I would normally say, "The Lord be with you." Okay, some of you know what I'm talking about. All right, so you see, there's that part of that liturgy that is a back and forth, and I begin to wonder, this sounds really familiar. And of course, in Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, Ruth and Boaz are about to meet, and this love story is about to just totally go on for an incredible ride. And so right before that, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to his reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" And so interesting, even from the Old Testament, we see this back and forth liturgy between people of the Old Testament. I was beginning to wonder where he got it.
"Anakin, may the Force be with you."
"May the Force be with you, Master."
And so we see that from the very onset, so many times in the movies, you see that the writer of Star Wars has borrowed some things, even from the Christian community, that are just rather interesting. I first had to learn the Lutheran liturgy to understand where he was going. And then there's this thing right here. If you remember from... I'm not going to date any guys. I got in trouble for that on Wednesday night. Seeing this in the theaters in the mid-80s and Wicket, and of course these little cute little teddy bears. Do you guys remember where Wicket was from? What planet? Have you guys watched Star Wars?
Oh boy.
Do we need to do a movie marathon here? All right, what planet is this guy from? Sorry, Brian. Brandon and I are 8 days apart, so we understand the culture. What planet? Forest Moon of Endor. And I'm like, what are the chances? And I look and beginning 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7. Let's read this together. "Then Saul said to his servants, 'Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I might go to her and inquire of her.' And his servant said to him, 'Behold, there is a medium at...'" It just seems to, at the early days, I don't wonder where he got some of his ideas. And so there is this whole thing of, It sounds like you're kind of copying here. There is this thing that always has intrigued me, because I always grew up and I put on the cape and I had my flashlight on, and I wanted to be one of those guys with the flashlights. So we here see in episode 5, very intriguing that you can reach out with your mind, and if you were strong enough, you could take things and levitate them. And it's very interesting that little boys sometimes, you look at their floor and you just wish they could do that, right? Because it would take that much to get it clean. 2 Kings 6:6, then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. You have an axe head, a heavy axe head, and it actually floats. So I begin to wonder, okay, is he just borrowing, or is this something that, you know what, does it go up right our alley with Christianity? And I just begin to wonder, you know, is this far-fetched? Let's read this together. Matthew 17, he said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And so I just begin to wonder, if this is kind of like the movies, I can go over there with this much of faith, and I can go to a mountain, it can't be in this state, all right, because mountains are way too small. But I could go out to Colorado, and I could look at that huge mountain, and I could say, you know what, the Lord Jesus wants you over here. And so therefore, according to this passage, I could just say, you know what, move. I could just force move it with my mind. And I'm not reading this right. I'm not reading this in its context that Jesus doesn't want the mountain to move. The thing that's unmovable is a lot different than what we're thinking. And so it's not talking about this whole thing with Jedi powers. But this morning, next 3 weeks, there is something. I love the movie. My interest in this movie is a little bit up here. Just come to my house. You'll understand. At the same time, there is some stuff ingrained in this movie that begins to disturb me on a personal and professional level. I began to wonder, all right, how much of this movie can I really get into? So take a look at this clip.
Must be difficult having sworn your love to the Jedi. Not being able to visit the places you like or do the things you like.
I'll be with the people that I love.
Are you allowed to love? Thought that was forbidden for a Jedi.
Did you catch that? Did you catch the first time you watched the movie that she said it was forbidden for the Jedi who are represent supposedly the good side versus the Sith on the bad side? The Jedi are not allowed to love. And that began to just weigh on my heart that you have this group of people who are the defenders of people, and they're not allowed to love. And so that began to disturb me on a great level. I began to look at this, and I have to just come out and say, okay, what part of this is a movie and what part of it is not? Because in Scripture, if we read this together, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You see, at the very heart of what we're doing when we're starting this journey, we're going on Lent, and we're gonna culminate in the cross. And so the reason why he goes to the cross ultimately is love. And so any thought that says that there's no room for love anywhere in this school of thought, it begins to disturb me on a great level, because if you remove love from any system, any thought process, then at the core you have to remove who God is. That is greatly disturbing to me, and it has dropped my level of interest in this movie. And I also have to remember, this is just a movie. If you go online, don't believe everything you say, read, or hear, because it's just a movie. And just like people want to make up stuff, this is not something that's made up. It was written down almost 2,000 years ago, and it was written for our benefit to let us know that this is God saying, this is who God is at his core, that his great love for us was found in the cross. And so when we take a look at our epistle lesson, it's very interesting. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. Do you guys see that in here in verse 22 and 23 of your epistle lesson? It's interesting that all throughout the Old Testament, you see God doing extraordinary things. I mean, if you could have seen it at the Red Sea, to stand there and think, there's nothing more that we can do to get away from the Egyptians. We're going to die here. And God says, take a look at this. Watch the water. And just amazing to see. It's not even CGI. It's seeing the breath of God go through the waters, and you see them cross on dry land. And you see them at the temple of Sinai, where God's presence comes down in thunder and lightning. This great, amazing thing. And you say, wow, that's amazing. I'd love to be there. My faith would be way up here. Okay, the Egyptians saw the plagues. They saw the Red Sea. They saw Mount Sinai, and still they turned away in less than 40 days. And so Paul's writing here, the Jews demand signs. The problem is that even though they see the signs, they won't even believe. That's a stumbling block to them, because what they ask for is not what's the cornerstone of their faith. And you see that the Greeks were people who literally loved to sit around and talk. All right, they could be found at a lot of different coffee shops around Athens, especially at this place called Mars Hill, and that's where Paul goes and talks about, you guys have a lot of gods assembled here? You forgot one. Let me tell you about him. He's the one who made everything, and he's the only God. And so we see here that Paul goes to them and says, there's one God, and his great love for you sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you and to take away your sins. And that's all you need to know. There is no other wisdom that you need to chase after other than that Jesus Christ, King of the world, and this is a stumbling block to them, the King of kings, Lord of lords, became humble, became a man, and died for you. And the Greeks say, no way, no, that's not, that doesn't even make sense. And Paul says, exactly. It doesn't make sense that a God would not require us to be eternally away from him, but he says, I want you to be right where I am, to live with me forever. I want you to be my glory. And to do that, I'm willing to give up my life. And that's a stumbling block, because it doesn't make sense. But it does make sense when you look at the very core of the message. God is love. God is love, and it makes sense. It makes sense that God would give everything he had, everything, in order that we may have this peace of mind, that by his blood we are healed, that through faith in him that he gives us the power to become children of God, become heirs of the kingdom. And he also gives us this great joy to live out this faith right here, right now. And so as we go away from here, we don't have to hold this in. There is so much to be shared away from these walls. That God is love, and he has sent his amazing love for us. And let me tell you about the story of Jesus Christ. It's a story that has you and me in mind. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may we always see that your story is a message of love. Lord God, we thank you because without that story of love, we are literally nothing. Go with us, Lord, on this journey each and every day. That, Lord God, we may not be caught up in the wonders and things of this world that would have us go on different directions, Lord, but would be chasing after you. Lord God, we thank you as we do that. You are standing by us side by side. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.